Good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News for today, Thursday, November 26. I am your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, Flo's country manager dismisses all suggestions that the company rebranded due to failure. Cancer patients in Dominica receive medical supplies through U.S.-based trauma surgeon. IMF says St. Lucia economy recovering but needs to reduce high public debt and improve competitiveness. And David Cameron says airstrikes against Islamic State militants in Syria would be in the UK's national interest. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. The details of these and more stories coming up.
Countdown to Quartz Blackjack Friday has begun with mad, crazy Black Friday deals all across the store. On Friday 27th, all day, like the Whirlpool 9 cubic foot fridge at a rock bottom $9.99. 32-inch MasterTech TVs for only $69. 24-inch MasterTech TVs for a low of $4.99. Alcatel tablets for a giveaway $1.99. Acer 15.6-inch laptop for a low $9.99. Dawn Twin Bed from $2.99. Jason and table $49 plus loads more deals in store. All deals are available at all, yes, all Quartz stores. Quantities are limited, so you've got to hurry to a branch near you to claim the prize ticket first. Remember, you also get to redeem your Blackjack 21 points to get 21% off even already reduced items. Quartz Black Friday is here, Friday 27th. Don't miss it. Offer on while stocks last. Quartz, bringing value home.
Country manager of Flo, Jeffrey Baptist, is brushing aside suggestions that the company has rebranded because it had failed. Landline, Internet, Mobile and Entertainment Lime has been officially rebranded in Dominica as Flo. The complete transformation of the brand is the result of the company's recent merger with Columbus Communications. Baptist told the media on Monday that the rebranding signals renewed commitments to supporting Dominica.
Once there is change, people assume you're changing because you've failed, but this is not what this is about. This is about recognizing that as CWC, as Lime, we contributed significantly to development of Dominica, but we're seeing that there is still a lot more work to be done, and our company is bent on investing to grow our businesses across the region and more specifically in Dominica, and this is exactly what we're doing. So out of this combined business, we expect to have a renewed focus, a renewed commitment to actually invest more resources into the development of our communities. When I speak to investment, we speak to investment along the lines of our four-pillar corporate social responsibility initiative. We have spoken very broadly about our commitment to invest our resources through culture, education, sports, and health, and we have done that in very significant and tangible ways across over a number of months. What we're saying is we are making a renewed commitment to continue to do just that. So our initiative, where we support education through investment through the free internet for schools program, will continue. Our commitment to culture through our flagship events, Cruel in the Park, through Carnival, that will continue. Our investment through the sponsorship of every major sporting discipline in Dominica will continue.
According to the Dominica Air and Seaports Authority's General Manager, Benoit Badwill, night landing at Dominica's main airport could resume by mid-December. Douglas Charles Airport has been without night landing facilities since the passage of Tropical Storm Erica on August 27. General Manager of the Dominica Air and Seaport Authority, Benoit Badwill, says LEAD has only two daily flights at the airport currently, and efforts are underway to improve activity there.
What they have said to us based on our discussions is that they can put in an additional flight or two, providing we have night services. And so that's where we are at the moment in LEAD. We are, in fact, working on lights. We've been advised, and so we're looking at the renewable air ground lighting system, which is utilizing solar. So we're expecting that by mid-December, we should have lights in place at the airport, functional, so that LEAD can utilize those lights to put in flights. They have promised that if the lights are operational, they will put in flights before the Christmas season. That is additional flight coming in late. Our problem, because there is no lights at the airport at the moment, any flight coming in would have to come in at least 15 minutes after sunset. And because it gets dark very early, somewhere around 20 after 5, traffic would be closed to the airport. And that is the difficulty we have. So they have to get to the airport sometime around 10, quarter to 5, so that they can do the turnaround and get out of there before 5:15, 5:20. And that is a little tight. So they are not able to put in flights knowing that sometimes they are running a little behind schedule. And that is the problem. So we are, in fact, working as well to try to see how we can improve the services by getting the airport lit by mid-December.
The Dominica Cancer Society, through the efforts of U.S.-based trauma surgeon Dr. Dale Dangleben, is set to provide some much-needed medical supplies to cancer patients on island. Members of the opposition United Workers Party presented their donation to the president of the society, Kathleen Cornelius, at a ceremony held at the party's office in Roseau on Wednesday. UWP Senator Monel Williams said the donation comes at a time when it's most needed by cancer patients on the island.
And all of us, it's a fight for all of us. One person dying of cancer is one too many. And, you know, we want to encourage the Dominica Cancer Society that was founded by persons who were survivors of cancer to continue to do the work. You know, we want to sympathize with those who've lost their loved ones to cancer. We want to encourage those who are currently going through the disease, and we want to honor the survivors like yourself. You know, cancer is no respecter of persons, and it can affect anybody anytime. Mm-hmm. And we as the United Workers Party, we want to use the opportunity to reach out to the persons who actually are suffering through with this disease.
President of the Cancer Society, Kathleen Cornelius, says the donation comes at a right time and will go a long way.
For us as a society, we are indeed grateful for the bags that we are receiving, since many of our members are experiencing difficulties with sourcing bags presently. Your contribution is going to go a long way, and it will be greatly appreciated by our members. I can think of at least 8 persons who are going to benefit from this directly this morning, and you are going to put a smile on the faces of these individuals.
Bellevue Chopin is being considered as the new location for Pilot Savanne residents who were displaced by Tropical Storm Erica. Government says it has been zeroing in on a location for some 823 residents. Chairman of the Ministerial Subcommittee for Resettlement, Dr. Colin McIntyre, disclosed during a site visit on Wednesday that Bellevue Chopin is ideal for the relocation.
This is one of the main sites being considered for Pilot Savanne. It's ideal land there, lovely flat land. Right now, our surveys division, they're in there. They're looking at the topographical studies and the survey plans, and we're looking at an initial amount of land there to look at the resettlement of the people of Pilot Savanne in the first instance. It has to be carefully selected. We cannot take the people out of Pilot Savanne and Ubik and put them into lands that are, you know, vulnerable or susceptible to further damage in the future, given Erica. But our intention is not to take the people and put them under cliffs, on the mountains, on the edges of rivers for floods and whatnot. So we are selecting carefully, and we think that Bellevue Chopin is an ideal piece of land. We'll select a proper piece of land and carry the necessary studies to make sure that it's suitable for that sort of development.
Other sites are reportedly being explored to resettle residents displaced from other communities. Chairman of the Technical Committee for Resettlement, Lucian Blackmore, says residents of over 20 communities must be resettled.
The numbers as we have it, Pilot Savanne is about 823 persons. In Kolibisri, we have about 44 households. In Kolio, we have about 20-something. In Fortijubik, we have about 38. In Campbell, we have to look at the entire community there. And in Good Hope, the numbers are not as heavy, but maybe less than the 20 or so persons. The first priority is to deal with the areas that were heavily hit. So you're looking at Jubik, Pilot Savanne, and of course you're looking at the areas of Kolibisri, Koliho, Chekol, and the Paradise Valley, and even Dead End and area. But as I said earlier on, we have to understand there are quite a number of other communities in Dominica that are very vulnerable to all sorts of different risk, natural disasters. Campbell, a couple of years ago, you know, we had even a death involved when there was serious landslide and person lost their life and so. This time we had a few damage in Campbell. It wasn't fatal, but the signals are also on the ground, so we have to look at that. So we have immediate and, of course, a medium term. So Campbell would be catered in the medium term.
Still on the local scene, a CEO of DASPA, Benoit Badwell, says measures have been put in place to ensure visitors to Dominica do not have any challenges getting to and from the island's tourist sites, particularly those which were affected as a result of Erica. The MV Ada Diva of Ada Cruises made its inaugural call to Dominica on Tuesday at the Woodbridge Bay Port, where a welcome ceremony including plaques exchanges were held aboard the ship. Badwell says although the island is in the rebuilding process following the recent storm, tourism officials have put in place measures to ensure the safety of the passengers.
We are coming back from a tropical storm Erica that dumped well over 12 inches of rain on us within 6 hours, and that created tremendous damage to the country, $1.3 billion Eastern Caribbean dollars. But we are bouncing back, and we are doing the best that we can, and I'm sure some of your guests may not even notice, because some of the things we have done since that time, we have actually on the process of rebuilding and trying our best to ensure that your guests do not suffer any difficulties or challenges in the areas that they go. But if they do, we do apologize, but we think that most of our operators have in fact catered for this and have informed the guests. And so we would like you to continue to enjoy Dominica and make the best out of it.
Meantime, Director of Tourism Colin Piper says all resources would be made available to ensure visitors experience all the country has to offer.
I want to make resources available. I've been reliably informed by first-hand information by some of our shore operations staff here that the guests of this, the passengers of this vessel, get to see a lot of what Dominica has to offer with pictures and videos and first-hand information. But certainly we stand ready, willing, and able to provide you with more information should you require that.
Captain of the ship, Vincent Sufalka, dubbed Dominica as one of the islands with the largest open-air wellness shower systems in the world.
I told them Dominica is one of the islands with the largest open-air wellness shower system in the world. So just make sure that if some of the passengers happen to address you, that we are on the same page.
This was the first of its 10 calls to the island for the 2015-2016 cruise season. 8 pieces of legislation have been tabled for discussion in the Dominica Parliament today, and amendments to the value-added tax to assist the tourism sector is among them. Finance Minister Roosevelt Scarrett says some of the amendments being made were based on suggestions from the Dominica Hotel and Tourism Association, the DHTA.
We'll be going to Parliament on the 26th. Of November to seek parliamentary approval for a number of very critical and important pieces of legislation and amendments. When we addressed the parliament in the budget presentation, we highlighted a number of important measures in consultation with the Dominica Hotel and Tourism Association, which they feel would be helpful to advancing the tourism industry in Dominica. And we made a commitment in the budget address to pursue those pieces of legislation. So we'll be going to Parliament to amend the value-added tax. We had indicated in regards to hotel rooms on complimentary basis that those rooms will not attract a value-added tax. And also with regards to the meals for staff, as the hotel industry, the hotel property owners felt that this would be very helpful to them in the waiving of the VAT on meals to staff, so that will be done. Among others, some smaller amendments to the VAT Act. Also, with regards to the Income Tax Act, insofar as villas are concerned, as you know, we're moving towards the new thrust in tourism, and a number of new properties and developments are coming on stream, and also existing ones too. They are taking a different approach to the tourism product. Obviously, you know, we have this in other jurisdictions, and therefore we have to allow for new legislation to come in to, first of all, facilitate those kind of investments, but secondly, and very importantly, to allow us to be competitive in a very difficult tourism environment, not only regionally, but globally.
He says the Highway Maintenance Levy, Excise Tax Amendment Act, Alien Land Holding Regulation Amendment, and Residency Levy Act will all be debated today.
There's also a Residency Levy Act that is to replace and to deal with the issue of property development and tourism again. also on the request of the Dominica Hotel and Tourism Association. The other issue with regards to the excise tax amendment, the Stamp Amendment Act, making a number of changes in the stamp duties and so forth in regards to transfer of properties among related parties. So that has been dealt with. They also issue with Title by Registration Amendment Act and the Alien and Holding Regulation Amendment Act, addressing a number of issues in respect to the Alien and Holding regulations, dealing with setting a flat rate on approved developments in terms of the alien and holding fees and so forth, and the other important amendments regards to the Aliens Land Holding Regulation Amendment Act of 2015. That's a bill. And also we'll be dealing with the highway maintenance levy, another commitment that was made in the budget address. So you're talking about eight pieces of legislation amendments that are critical to the advancement of the country's continued march to development. Now, we believe that notwithstanding Tropical Storm America, that those pieces of legislation, those amendments, are even more critical now than they were prior to the passage of Tropical Storm America. And then the other legislations, amendments to existing legislation, and also new legislation that we have to bring to the Parliament.
Parliament will also debate supplementary estimates of just over 38.5 million. Parliament began at 10 a.m. Meantime, the opposition United Workers Party called its supporters to People's Park at 9 o'clock this morning after having raised concerns over the behavior and attitude in Parliament of Speaker of the House of Assembly Alex Boyd-Knight. The opposition seems very concerned that the House Speaker did not allow any time for the opposition to place questions on the order paper for today's sitting of Parliament. Although there is an item on the order paper entitled Questions, Q95 News will bring you more in our 5:30 newscast. President of the Caribbean Male Action Network, CARAMAN, Thomas Holmes, has called for an end to sexual abuse of Dominican children. His call came following a walk against abuse of children in Dominica on Saturday. The Welfare Division is reporting that there have been 157 reported cases of abuse against children between January and September of this year.
Because a lot of things are happening to our children in Dominica. And then we have to bring an end. We have to stop all the negative things happening to them. Children have no right to be abused by we, the men, or the women. And sometimes, sad to say, biological fathers are involved in abusing our children. We have to stop that. When children are at school, sometimes the classmates, the schoolmates are doing things to them or telling them things that they should not. We ask every child to respect each other, respect yourself and respect each other, and do not allow anyone to disrespect you. Do not allow anyone to touch you where they should not touch you. Do not allow anyone to say anything to you that they should not. Do not entertain them. Do not stand up and listen to them. Children, we are asking you to take care of yourselves. We, the adults, we are helping you by telling people not to do it, but not to allow anybody to do anything to you that they should not do to you. At the same time, we are asking our children to obey. Obey your parents. Obey your teachers. Obey those in authority. Do not bully others.
Meantime, a six-woman, three-man jury has found 42-year-old Joseph Senthouse of Penville guilty of unlawful sexual intercourse with an 8-year-old girl. The incident took place between January and August of 2013. He will be sentenced on 11th December 2015. The Dominica Association of Industry and Commerce, DAIC, has responded to the decision of Colgate Palmolive, owners of DCP, to shut down operations in Dominica. 94 employees have been affected by the closure. Jeffrey Baptist is president of the DAIC.
We are concerned. Obviously, any decision that will impact in a negative manner the economy, any Dominican, whether it be one Dominican or 94 Dominicans, I certainly is a cause for concern for every single Dominican and more so private sector and body. We did, in fact, visit the DCP after Tropical Storm Erica, and we once we had assessed the impact, we were always concerned that the continuity of the operations in Dominica was at risk, given our own personal direct assessment. And so we are very concerned that the decision has in fact been taken. We feel that as private sector, we all need to be concerned, but be going beyond concern. I think we now need to mobilize and to see wherever there are opportunities for us to re-engage collectively as a private sector grouping, but also to engage more directly and maybe more frontally public sector through government to determine how do we create an investment climate in Dominica that will strengthen every single investment decision that currently exists and future investment decisions for our economy and our market. We will reach out to government and see whether there is an opportunity for new dialogue to determine how through private-public sector partnerships we can mitigate or cushion the impact of the DCP decision. We note the government's utterances with respect to potentially, you know, acquiring DCP, and this is something that we will discuss a bit further with government and maybe more directly with the Prime Minister. But as the Chamber of Commerce, we are concerned. We extend our support to the local management at the Dominica Coconut Products and every single employee.
And Dominica's ambassador at the United Nations, His Excellency Dr. Vince Henderson, says the creation of SITDOC, Small Islands Development States, is a major achievement. Henderson serves as chairman of the organization, which is promoting sustainable energy development.
It is the first time that small island states have come together to create an institution to push their own agenda. And that agenda is sustainable energy. Dominica has the pleasure of serving as a chair. And since I've been in New York for the past 4 years, I have served as chair of SITDOC, and I've gotten the institution to the stage where, first time in our history, as small island states at the UN, we have created that institution. So I'm very, very excited about that. Because what SITDOC has done for us so far is to help us in developing our sustainable energy program, renewable energy, energy efficiency, and we've raised so far almost $30 million providing assistance to small island developing states in partnership with the World Bank and UNDP. So that forces a great achievement, as well as with the Clinton Climate Initiative.
In other news this afternoon, the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, says the St. Lucia economy is recovering and the short-term growth outlook is positive. But it has warned that the Dr. Kenny Anthony administration still needs to reduce the high public debt and improve competitiveness to improve medium-term growth prospects and reduce high unemployment. That assessment was contained in the report of an IMF mission led by Leo Bonatto that left the island last Friday after conducting Article 4 consultations. And David Cameron says airstrikes against Islamic State militants in Syria would be in the UK's national interest. The Prime Minister denied claims it would make the UK a bigger target for terror attacks, as he made the case for military action in the Commons. He told MPs the UK was already a target for IS, and the only way to deal with that was to take action now. The UK could not outsource our securities to allies, and it had to stand by France, he added. A Commons vote on authorizing airstrikes is expected within weeks. And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. Flo's country manager dismisses all suggestions that the company rebranded due to failure. Cancer patients in Dominica receive medical supplies through U.S.-based trauma surgeon. IMF says St. Lucia economy recovering, but needs to reduce high public debt and improve competitiveness. And David Cameron says airstrikes against Islamic State militants in Syria would be in the UK's national interest. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.